January 2025, maybe the worst month in recorded history, and it started off with one of America's most beloved and loathed cities being caught up in a wildfire. There are countless conspiracies, but most of them take on a political bias. That's why you need to listen to my show, because I'm giving you something a little bit different today, which is drastically needed in the world of conspiracy that's being melded into groupthink and turning into a new form of mainstream media. We've lost the focus of the real conspiracy: greed, wealth, class division, and power. And that's precisely what we'll look at today with the LA Fires conspiracy. Today we're going to look at the Los Angeles fires. We're going to talk about celebrity homes that burned down, a conspiracy quick rundown, the history of this whole thing, the LA water wars, Chinatown, William Mulholland, Frederick Eaton, billionaire, wonderful Resnick family, Diddy, Ben Affleck, J-Lo, to keep it real light and easy, Wild King Nights, Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, Maui, and how all of this is part of the BlackRock World Economic Forum Great Reset. This is the January bonus episode for the supporter feeds. If you like the show, you want to support it, you want to keep it alive, please consider subscribing to one of my three platforms. In fact, if you want to help me run a test, no one's taken me up on this yet. I'm running a test because I run the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section. It's basically Patreon, but it's run through my own website. And it's actually the cheapest option if you do an annual plan. But the catch is, you need the smallest amount of technical know-how. You got to be able to copy and paste an RSS feed link into one of the compatible apps. You can check out the details on IlluminatiWatcher.com if you go to the VIP tab. Check it out. And because I had an issue on there with a glitch, and I need a bunch of signups to see if I fixed it. So my software people say it's good to go. I want to find out though. So you can sign up for half price for 3 months on one of the monthly plans for tier one or tier two. I know it's a lot, right? Just use the discount code EGG, E-G-G, right? Because I talked about this with the Egg Aliens episode I did recently. I knew we had half price for the first 3 months. And it's limited to the first 33 signups. So, there you go. Links in the show notes. Now, first off, I realize, and by the way, this is for the supporters. Thank you for supporting the show. You guys are literally keeping it alive. If it wasn't for you, this wouldn't exist. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. First off, the LA fires, sensitive subject. If you follow me on the socials, you've seen my statement about this. I realize there's a lot of people out there who hate Hollywood and Los Angeles, and it represents everything they despise. And, you know, and I get it. I get it. As a conspiracy person, I understand. But like any big city, right? There's bad players, bad actors. But I'm not one of those people. I love Southern California. Love it. I love L.A. Like Huey Lewis said. In fact, I was going to move there less than 10 years ago. I had a job, and we were packing up, and I couldn't sell my house. True story. We were still underwater. I needed about 25 grand to get out from underwater because we bought it in 2008. Great timing, of course. And, yeah. I couldn't sell the house, so here I stay in Utah. And I hesitated to discuss this whole thing because I felt like I'm going through some changes here, folks. Maybe it's my older age. Maybe my T levels are dropping precipitously. I felt like I was being exploitative for a bit, right? Which has always been the struggle with my research and blogging and podcasting and all that stuff, is I want to talk about these taboo subjects because I know I'm coming from a good place, but not everybody is. And there's a lot of people out there that exploit this stuff. It's the online version of an ambulance chaser, right? Something terrible happens and immediately every conspiracy theory is like, oh, it's because, you know, fill in the blank, whatever subjective bias they have, it fully confirms it. And I find the conspiracy movement today to be disheartening because of that, because now you don't know what's really worth considering, you know, because people are making money off of clicks and follows. I'm right there with them, right? I grift right there with the best of them. But it's hard to know what's real anymore. You know, we had our doubts on the mainstream media. We're like, okay, yeah, they're not always telling us the truth. True, right? But then all of a sudden it's like, well, there's an alternative stream media that's popping up. And a real honest to God conspiracy theorist that's actually trying to make sense of the world and trying to figure out who the players are would come to the logical conclusion that, like, maybe they have financial interest involved too. Maybe they have political interests involved too. Maybe they're being paid by foreign countries or adversaries or whatever, right? And it's getting really tricky to tell what's real. It's like with the advent of AI at this point. It's hard to tell what pictures and videos are real online anymore. So I say all that to say this. I love Los Angeles and I love Southern California. You know, and I love this whole country, right? I'm a vet, right? I was active duty for 4 years and I love America. So I'm a patriot in that sense. I don't want to see this happen to anyone. North Carolina, Florida, they've been in the news, and now California, right? So, and ironically, I also love Maui. Like, my two favorite places on earth are Maui and Southern California. I actually, when I went to Snoqualmie, I fell in love with Washington too. And of course, PA, my hometown. I've been all over this country and a lot of great people in everywhere you go, small towns, big cities, whatever. So ironically, Maui is like probably my dream destination of where I would want to live. So it's interesting to me that my two favorite places both get this sort of conspiracy wildfire treatment. So anyway, I didn't do a show on this yet because I don't know. It's just a temporary phase. And if you follow me long enough, you know, like back when the Connecticut Sandyho, you know, the rest of the spelling, you know, when that thing happened, I've been told I'm being shadow banned possibly. So I'm trying to be clean up my language. I absolutely hate the idea of censoring terms and words and saying unalive and pew pews and all that. But the fact of the matter is it appears I'm being shadow banned on one of the places, we'll say. So there you go. When I wrote about that event, when it happened, I was like, oh, this feels slimy. But there was a lot of stuff to talk about. There was a lot of weird symbolism that we were catching in the Batman movie. And what was that James Bond dude? Daniel Craig was in a movie. I forget the name of it. Lots of weird stuff. And then Hunger Games was written there. Weird stuff. So it's kind of a similar vibe where I'm like, look, I'm going to talk about this, but I'm going to hit you with some heavy caveats. So like, I have a lot of empathy and a lot of sympathy for people involved and all that stuff, right? I'm a real bleeding heart kind of guy, you know? I'm not one of these callous, let the whole world burn to the ground kind of people at all. So I didn't do a show on this yet because I feel like adding to the distraction and the division is exactly what the Illuminati want. If you want to talk about a reality of a battle, the elites want us distracted and divided. Okay. So anyway, I put it on Patreon. I said, look, every month I give you guys a bonus episode. Granted, I gave you maybe 12 Twin Peaks bonus episodes, but I realize most of you hate it, which, by the way, it's over. We're done. Okay. Chill. We're good. I've had countless messages of people tell me it's over. Okay, you got it. It's over. In fact, I've got one more show on February 23rd. It's the final rundown of my overall grand arching theory of Twin Peaks. And then we're done. I'm not going to hit you with any more Twin Peaks stuff. I originally planned on doing this big show with a bunch of different guests, and I'm not going to do it because it's clear that people don't want it. And I listen to you. I'm here to serve you. Maybe having 55 episodes of Twin Peaks was not something you wanted, it turns out. But hey, I loved it. It was a great time. And some people really enjoyed it. So shout out to my Twin Peaks people. But on Patreon, I put a poll out. I said, it's January. What do you want? And they voted for LA Fire. So here we go. Let's get right into it. And if you want my opinion on what really happened, you got to stick around to the conclusion. So sorry, my free feed losers. You won't know what I really think. A joke, of course. Now, what happened? Well, January 7th, these fires started. The Palisades, the Eaton, and the Hughes fire. 29 people dead. 200,000 evacuated. 16,000 structures and homes destroyed or damaged. And it, strangely enough, on January 2nd, the National Interagency Fire Center warned that the conditions were ripe for a significant fire potential. In fact, I drive by a fire station that they always tell you the fire hazard, because in Utah, it's very dry. So there's a lot of like high potential for fire here as well. Then the National Weather Service puts on a fire weather watch. These are all federally funded projects, right? Taxpayer projects. All that weather forecast stuff comes from the NOAA. There's a lot of things that go on, right? So a lot of these people, these federal agencies were saying, hey, like, you're be on guard. And then Wikipedia says that it was the driest start to the rainy season on record. And the driest nine-month period on record before the Santa Ana winds came through, up to 100-mile-an-hour gusts, and just wreaked havoc. And burned down a ton of homes, lots of celebrity homes. Let's run down the list. Oh, these are the celebrity homes that burned down. So, I mean, that's a lot of homes that burned down if it's got this long a list of just the celebrities, right? And that's all we care about here in America is celebrity culture. Jhené Aiko, which I thought she was married to Big Sean. Am I wrong about that? Jeff Bridges, Adam Brody, Barbara Corcoran, that's the chick from Shark Tank, the blonde lady. Billy Crystal, who I saw I watched the SNL movie on Netflix. Great movie. I love SNL. I've always liked it. It kind of comes and goes. If you want my opinion, go to Letterboxd, Isaac Weishaupt. I'll tell you what I think about SNL and my past history of watching it. Carrie Ilwells, he was the blonde dude in Robin Hood Men in Tights. And what else was he in? I can't remember. Mel Gibson, as seen tweaking heavily on Joe Rogan. John Goodman. Brian Greenberg. Ed Harris from Westworld and Truman Show, one of my favorites. Jennifer Love Huge Tits. Look, I got to say that because I'm from the 90s, okay? Paris Hilton, Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins to you. Ricky Lake, again from the 90s. Eugene Levy. Who else do I know on this list? Mandy Moore, Brad Paisley, John C. Reilly. Who else do I know? I don't know anyone else. Miles Teller from Top Gun 2, and he was Vinny Paz, the boxer movie. And what was that good movie he was in with the drummer, man? Whiplash, that was a great movie. Milo Ventimiglia, the dude from Heroes. Diane Warren, and last but absolutely not least, Carol Stroykin. That's the fireman from Twin Peaks, the giant. Sad. He had a GoFundMe going for a while there. Also lost in the fire, 200 pieces of Hunter Biden's art was taken out at the lawyer's home, Kevin Morris, valued at supposedly millions of dollars. Okay. Okay, buddy. Millions of dollars. You got it. Between you and the insurance company. Maybe that's where the fire started. Maybe the devil started it there. But anyways, lots of options when you say, well, what's the conspiracy? I mean, you could pick from many and dig into it, and you probably find some valid, you know, theories. Maybe it's just climate change. Maybe this is just good old-fashioned climate change. Maybe it's the result of woke policies and LGBTQ fire chiefs and mayors, right? The fire chief who self-identifies as a lesbian, Kristen Crowley, like Aleister Crowley, of no relation from that I can tell, but who knows. There were some budget cuts supposedly made, which is more austerity measures, right? Cutting back on government spending. And you get that sometimes, right? When you cut money for regulatory bodies or public health measures, sometimes bad things happen. There's also a theory that the water was turned off. There was no water to fight the fires. Or they ran out of water because now officially they say, well, the storage tanks were empty and the pressure system couldn't keep up with the demand. I mean, it just wasn't designed for that kind of firefight. In fact, there was a fire in 1961 in LA, and the result was they built a Santa Ynez reservoir in case another event like that happened. And ironically, last year, it was drained to repair a tear in the cover. I imagine it's like maybe a pool liner. I don't know why they say cover. Like, that tells me that's the top of it. Like, why would you need to drain it to fill the top? But if I was in LA, I'd be so pissed, right? This is the... You pay so much in taxes. Like, I think they have one of the highest tax rates in the world, probably. And you'd think they'd have it all, right? And these are the arguments that sell people on sort of like right-wing, smaller government, libertarian vibes. And it's true, they have a right to be angry. I'd be pissed too. I'd be like, dude, I'm paying this much in taxes and you can't keep the water system ready when you know this place can catch on fire at any moment because it's so dry. Crazy. Theories claim that the fires were started by homeless people. Some theories that started by right-wingers who hate LA. Theories, again, sort of on the climate change vibe, like this is just Mother Nature, right? Dry times, Santa Ana winds. And there's lots of, you know, like I said, there's lots of people trying to sell us on conspiracies, including there was an AI doctored photo of the Hollywood sign on fire. That never happened. And that's kind of one of the bad things about what's going on, right? In today's day and age, you really choose your own reality. Whatever you want to believe sounds good. But the theory I like the most, the one I'm going to stick with, which is my overall vibe, is let's look at the billionaires. Because Conspiracy 101, every red pill daddy I've ever had, tells us follow the money, right? The elites, that's who the Illuminati are, trying to enslave the masses. It's not poor people trying to create a one world order. No, it's the rich folks. And why is that, right? You have to understand the mentality here. And let me try to describe how I understand it. You've got people like, I'm not going to name names because now I'm concerned about the technocracy of what's going on. Look at the world's richest people. Look at this. If you know, most of us are just middle class bums, right? If someone handed me, if I won the lottery for $10 million, $100 million, we'll say, $100 million, that $10 million would be the same. Let's say $10 million. I would quit my job tomorrow, right? You would be like, damn, where was that podcast guy at? What happened to him? I'd quit the dreaded day job. You wouldn't see me. I'd be ghost. Living my best life. Vacationing, on a boat, on an island, whatever, right? I'd invest most of it, by the way, first off. And we all fantasize about what we would do if we won the lottery. Not one single person on this planet would say, you know what I would do? I would keep working. And that's what these billionaires are doing. They're still running these companies. And that tells me, well, they're not doing this for the money. They don't need the money anymore. What are they doing? They're doing it for the power, the control. It's a drug to them. They're psychopaths. You know, these people have the option to just ride into the sunset and live a relaxed, peaceful life, doing just the finest things, eating the finest foods, CrossFitting every day. And instead, what do? They focus on how to control you and how to take more of your money. They're possessed by demons. So that's why they want to create a one world order, because they're demonic people. And they're power hungry, and there's not enough in the world. So that's who's doing this stuff, if anyone's doing this, right? So first, let's walk through the history of water in Los Angeles, which was actually pretty fascinating when I was digging into it. It's a real doozy. And the short version of what it is, Los Angeles is a very dry place. So it's ripe for wildfires, and it's always been. And this sets up more of an argument of the haves taking from the have-nots, because the whole reason Los Angeles exists is because rich folks stole the water from the poor folks. All right. And this isn't going to turn into some woke ass, like, critical race theory thing, you know. Because on one hand, I do sympathize for people like the Native Americans when we come through and took their land. But at some point, you just got to move on and say, hey, man, I'm sorry my ancestors did that, but we're here now. And on top of that, like, looking at the world from a historical perspective, it's a dangerous world we live in, right? Countries just steamroll other countries and take over like empires. And sometimes that's just the way it is. I don't think it's okay. But, like, what am I supposed to do? Cry about it? I don't know. You know? But my argument here is that this started out as a class warfare, and I argue that it continues as such. So, L.A. Water Wars, what is that? Well, it was actually, if you've ever seen the movie Chinatown, that was a quasi-fictional plot based on the L.A. Water Wars. The movie Chinatown was directed by Roman Polanski, the guy that filmed Rosemary's Baby. And he's very notorious because he's tied into the Charles Manson thing because they killed his wife, Sharon Tate, right? And he just finally settled that lawsuit from the 1973 RAPE of a minor. Not the lawsuit you're thinking of, a different lawsuit. That's right. This isn't the one that he fled from America for getting convicted of doing that to a 13-year-old. No, this is a different one. And a Jane Doe anonymous woman said that he took her to dinner in L.A. in 1973, gave her a tequila drink, and she got real dizzy, and he took her home and forced himself upon her. Which, again, let's look at that argument of why these rich people are obsessed with power and they're demonic. It's the same thing that's fueling these kinds of attacks, right? Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Diddy, these guys, like, you don't even need to do this to get laid, right? Like, think about that. I mean, first off, you don't need to be rich and famous or good looking to get laid. These guys are all of those. So getting laid for them is as simple as it could be. So it's not about that. It's about power. It's about control. And it's demonic. And if you've seen Chinatown, there's a character named Hollis Mulray, and that's based on a man named William Mulholland, who we're going to talk about here in a sec. And he was basically a major figure in the formation of Los Angeles as a modern city as we know it. Mulholland is also the name of the, you know, there's lots of things in L.A. named after him. Mulholland Drive is the name of the David Lynch movie. Rest in peace, David Lynch. Part of the reason why January is the worst. We also had to put our puppy down. The terrible month. And then I was sick. Me and Josie were both sick as hell. I mean, an atrocious month. And Mulholland Drive is actually where David Lynch lived in real life. Up until these stupid fires that made him evacuate. Right, and he was on. He had emphysema, and he was told he couldn't leave his house again because he needed the oxygen set up, I guess. So the LA fires contributed to the passing of David Lynch, which, to make insult to injury, I don't remember who. I was on a Reddit for Twin Peaks, and they said that he was working on a Twin Peaks project. I was like, what a nightmare. Anyway. It's also where Polanski did that stuff to the miner at Jack Nicholson's home in Mulholland. Now, to be fair to Jack Nicholson, who was besties with Polanski, Jack wasn't home when it happened, okay? Just to be clear. So, all right, what are the water wars? Well, in the late 1800s, you had some political conflicts between Los Angeles as a city versus these rural farmers and ranchers of Eastern California, because LA was trying to expand, but they needed water for the people because there's no water out there. So the mayor wanted to take it from Eastern California, from the ranchers and the farmers, in a place called Owens Valley. He's like, I'm going to build an aqueduct and take their damn water. And this is where William Mulholland comes into play. He was a civil engineer. He builds this aqueduct for the mayor, and it gets completed in 1913. So LA starts diverting water from Owens River and just completely destroys and decimates the Owens Valley farms and the ranches and all these like poor rural farmer types. Their economy is just completely done. And the farmers were like, F that. We're going Luigi Mangione style. And they start blowing up the aqueduct with sticks of dynamite. You know, closed mouths don't get fed. So they're like, F it, we're blowing it up. But, you know, Los Angeles has more resources. They win the battle. Owens Lake proceeds to go completely dry. Now, William Mulholland, he had this vision that he sold to the mayor, this understanding and this vision that the limitation for growing Los Angeles was the water, because it was so dry and the rainwater was so unreliable. He's like, hey, if you want to grow this city, you have to snag some water from somewhere else. So he runs this project, builds the aqueduct, 233 miles, by the way, and later loses his whole career when a different project called the St. Francis Dam near Los Angeles, just in the 1920s, was built and it failed and killed 431 people, one of the greatest disasters of the 20th century. Third greatest loss of life in California. This was also part of the water wars because the dam was to feed even more water to LA, right? See, LA is very dry. Lots of drama. So Mulholland's like, oh, shoot, I killed all these people. Let me just go ahead and retire in 1928. And Mulholland, fun fact, got his start with engineering projects with the Silver Lake Reservoir. That is the lake from the film Under the Silver Lake, which is a heavy-duty conspiracy symbolism movie, which you would say, well, Isaac, let's do a show about it, which I've had countless people tell me to do that. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I haven't seen it. It's on my list. I got a list of movies I got to do this year, and I'm going to try to do them sooner than later. I'm working on Heretic, all right, right now. There's a lot going on. I might not get that out till February or March. So then there's another guy, besties with Mulholland, named Frederick Eaton, and he was part of he was the brains behind the aqueduct, and he was also part of the St. Francis Dam failure. He lost a ton of money on the deal, and the LA Department of Water and Power acquires his ranch, where a lake was created for the aqueduct water storage, and that lake would be called Crowley Lake. Illuminate confirmed the lake. It's actually named after a priest named John Crowley. Anyways, Fred Eaton dies in 1934. Brokey. He's a brokey loser when he dies. Now, another part of all this drama is that Eaton and Mulholland, used underhanded methods to obtain water rights and block the Bureau of Reclamation. They apparently misled the people on how much water they would actually need to fulfill this vision. And over time, more and more water is actually needed than what they could provide. So they build even more aqueducts. So now you've got more desertification of areas in California where they're stealing the water, which permanently alters the natural habitats for birds and brine shrimp and all kinds of stuff. Which I think that another conspiracy was that California was trying to save a bird or a fish or something. And I don't know the story. Someone claims it's like woke saving the animals thing, but I like to save the animals. I mean, to an extent, right? I say we got to try. I'm more in the air, trees, water, environment kind of guy, which is kind of the RFK vibe, I thought. I don't know. It's all so confusing. Now, fast forward. We're almost done here. Fast forward to the 1940s, and Los Angeles needs even more water. They divert water from sources running into a different part of Owens Valley called Mono Lake. And this water gets tied into the aqueduct system. Here goes more fighting, right? Now you've got these migrating birds that use Mono Lake. They're going to die. So Mono Lake, the people of Mono Lake sue Los Angeles, and they go back and forth for 15 years. And they successfully get the Mono Lake Committee to stop Los Angeles from diverting water, and the water's rising back up, and birds are happy. Great. So the history of Los Angeles soil is that it's dry, and you got to go to the other side of the Sierra Nevadas, where the soil is more moist. And the irony is that LA just goes ahead and steals the water from the farmers, and California's got like one of the largest GDPs in the world for produce. And now they're making the fertile soil for the farmers an arid desert as well. So it's a real mess. So let's move on to another couple from California, the ones that own the most water rights in California. And so as you can see, as I'm laying out here, water is very important to California. It's very important. So who owns the most water? I mean, who'd have thought you could own water, right? In fact, I remember years ago, Jay-Z was heavy on trying to buy rights to people's water and stuff, which to me seems like such a scumbag thing to do, man. It's like Total Recall, that Philip K. Dick story. Like the elites own the air. You got what you wanted, Copenhagen. Give the people air. And that's the Resnick family, these billionaires. So I'm going to look to a 2020 Forbes article, which actually says it's from 2015. So this information is 10 years old, but lots of good info. And it's going to be upsetting because you got to think, these people are even more rich than they were 10 years ago, okay? Says they've got a $4.3 billion fortune, the Resnicks. $3 billion of it is from their crops and their land. And their crops and land is orchards of nut trees, like the almonds. Because they own the Wonderful Company. If you've ever seen the Wonderful avocados and mandarins and pistachios, that's this couple, the Resnicks. And almonds are incredibly water intensive, like an insane amount, right? When I tried to be vegan, which was a futile effort, by the way, I wanted to do it for the animals. Turns out I like steaks way too much. But so now I'm just more conscious. I make sure, like, if there's meat on the plate and I'm full, I'm going to finish the meat out of respect of the loss of life for that animal. And I try to, like, dodge meat where I can. Like, I do collagen protein, which is also contributes to animal welfare, I'm sure, but whatever, right? Like, I'm not a total psychopath. And they use 120 billion gallons of water a year for their crops. And it says that's enough water to supply 852,000 residents of San Francisco for an entire decade. And they own a majority stake in Kern Water Bank, which is California's largest underground water storage facility, which stores 500 billion gallons. And the water bank is privately owned. And it profits from the water that it sells to locally publicly funded water transportation systems. So they're literally selling the water to the people, right? But like I said, almonds and pistachios, incredibly water intensive. It takes 1 gallon of water to make one almond or one pistachio. That was the statistic in the article. I find that hard to believe, but it's apparently true. That's insane. A 2024 and nuts. I enjoy all the nuts. However, they're so calorie intensive. I cut them out of my diet almost completely because I'm like, this sucks, man. Eating 400 calories of nuts with a handful of nuts, it's insane. A 2020 Forbes article says that the Resnicks is the wealthiest farmer in the U.S. and the net worth is over $9 billion now, okay? So that's just 5 years ago. So Stuart and Linda Resnick, they're rich from the wonderful brands they own, which is Palm Wonderful, Fiji Water, Wonderful Pistachios, Almonds, Halos, Seedless Lemons, Teleflora Flowers. They own the majority stake of Kern Water Bank. And they bought the Franklin Mint forever ago. So Stuart divorces a woman named Sandra and marries Linda, his current wife, in 1972. And fun fact, her father was a film producer that produced The Blob, the old school movie, which I always loved as a kid. Now, what's more interesting is that Linda, his current wife, was also part of the Pentagon Papers. Listen to this. It says Resnick, then Linda Cine, began doing occasional work for the anti-Vietnam War movement. By the fall of 1969, Resnick had divorced her first husband, Herschel, and began dating Anthony Russo, an engineer at RAND Corporation, a think tank in Santa Monica, California. Very Illuminate confirmed, by the way. He prevailed on her to allow him and a colleague, Daniel Ellsberg, to duplicate a large document using the Xerox 812 machine in her ad agency. Starting the night of October 1st, Russo, Ellsberg, and various helpers copied 7,000 pages of the secret government-commissioned history of America's involvement in Vietnam, later known as the Pentagon Papers. Ellsberg asked to use her copy machine on nights and weekends to enable him to distribute copies of those top-secret military documents. He gave them to the New York Times, which then published them. Dubbed the Pentagon Papers, they detailed aspects of the Vietnam War that had been hidden from the public, damaging the credibility of the presidents involved. Resnick was designated an unindicted co-conspirator for her role, and prosecutors pursued her for 2 years. Legal actions eventually dropped. Now, was that because at some point she hooks up with Stewart, and Stewart's like, baby, I got billions and I got water. Let me get you out of this. I don't know. So the Resnicks maybe have some hippie granola ties. I'm not sure. But what's interesting is that they should know that the plastic water bottles is the biggest grift of all time. It's terrible for your health. It's terrible for the environment. It leaches tons of chemicals into the water that you drink. Plastic never goes away. It just goes wherever, kills animals. It's crazy. That's my, you know, if you asked me for one life mission of mine, it would be to get rid of disposable plastic water bottles. Just drink out of the water fountain. Or take your little water bobby with you everywhere, you know? Got my little water bobby right here. Let's see here. From Forbes, it says, not everyone is eager to fill their pantry with a Resnick brand. Agriculture's king and queen have a history of commandeering natural resources in pursuit of profit. And their actions in Fiji, where they annually fill millions of plastic bottles with water and then ship them thousands of miles across the world, while residents haven't always had access to potable water themselves, has already infuriated environmentalists. You know, and that's like the gross part of capitalism. To convincing people that you need to drink water out of plastic bottles all day. So we're going to steal the water from the people that deserve it, that live there, ship it, which costs a ton in, you know, fuel and transportation and carbon dioxide, whatever. That's not a commentary on climate change. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of cost involved. And then having you spend your hard-earned money on it when, like, you can literally just put an RO system under your sink for $100 and change your filters once a year for $70 and just carry your water with you. Like, grow up. But that's not what this country wants. That's not what capitalism does. Capitalism just says, you got to buy this. This is the best water. You got to do it. So Google AI says that the family... because when you search on Google, it gives you the AI BS. It says the family has nothing to do with the water needed for the fires. Because that was one of the conspiracies. It's like, are they hoarding the water so that the firefighters can't put the homes out? And I'm assuming that's true, but who knows anymore, right? We don't know because there's so many financial interests involved with politics at this point. I don't trust anything Google says. I mean, I trust them in general, I guess. Anyway, it says there's that there's conspiracy theories about the Resnicks having some anti-Semitism, apparently. It says that Seth Oster, the chief corporate affairs officer for the wonderful company, said, we have nothing to do with how the city of LA or any other municipality secures water to fight fires. So officially, no. They might not be involved with the fire, but they're sus, in my opinion. And they did those avocado Illuminate Confirmed commercials. You remember that for the Super Bowl? Which I'm going to do a Super Bowl pregame show here soon, next week, I guess. They did, it was like a secret society avocado thing. You'll have to check it out. All right, last topic. Diddy. The old diddler. Did he start the fires? No. He's in prison, where he belongs. But F him anyhow. He's the second richest hip-hop artist of all time. Jay-Z, his bestie, is number one with $2 billion, and Diddy shows up at $1 billion. Melanie on Patreon, she was like, hey, the FBI went to Ben Affleck's house during these fires. What's that about? Well, let's cook something up. Let's see. And I went to Cosmopolitan, and it says, FBI agents were spotted outside Ben Affleck's Brentwood home a few days ago amid the devastating fires in L.A., and if you've been curious about why, we finally have an answer. Oh, do you? Page Six went ahead and spoke to the representative for the FBI PR office, who said members of the FBI's Ground Intercept Task Force are conducting activity in the area of the Palisades fire relative to unauthorized drone activity. Agents and our local partners may be visible throughout the area, including at various residents, for this reason. Okay. Meanwhile, a source added that FBI agents were at Affleck's home to see if he had CCTV footage of a private drone which damaged the Super Scooper, one of the firefighting aircrafts. Okay, so because the mainish stream media source tells me this, doesn't mean I buy it automatically. Because, you know, you've got the Operation Mockingbird stuff, and you got to understand how the law enforcement and the police and the CIA and the FBI, they kind of work hand in hand with the media to get information to them for them to release. So they only release what they want you to know. I don't know that that closes the book on it exactly, is what I'm saying. And also, not to mention, do you see that supposedly the drone activity in New Jersey was just FAA? I mean, come on. Who believes that? They were, the FBI and the governments were scrambling to figure out what the heck it was. They're like, we don't know what it is. And you're telling me the whole time they didn't check with the FAA? You're telling me the whole time, for weeks this went on, mass hysteria on the news, the FAA never reached out to the FBI and said, hey, that's just us. BS, 100%. Zero chance I believe that. Zero chance. So anyways, why would the FBI be at Ben Affleck's house? Well, maybe he's got some dirt on J-Lo and Diddy. Because recall back in December of 2024, which was roughly 200 years ago, Jay-Z was alleged to have been involved of doing stuff with Diddy to a drugged minor. And on the lawsuit, there is listed an anonymous female that was with them, with Jay-Z, I think, specifically, which people allege could have been Beyonce or J-Lo, because Diddy was dating J-Lo at the time. No one knows when Jay-Z was dating Beyonce. They keep that a real mystery, probably because she was underage, allegedly, maybe, who knows. There's also claims that there are videos of J-Lo doing sexy time for Diddy or whatever, because remember, he was a real freak. He liked to get on that hotel cuck chair. But anyways, the claim is that Ben Affleck had these videos and saw them, and like that's why he split with her when he did, because it was right in the middle of all this, because they were back with each other. It's a pain. Following Ben Affleck and J-Lo's love life is a full-time job. So the claim is that all those tapes that were confiscated at Diddy's mansions, one in L.A., one in Miami, but maybe J-Lo had one of them still, and Ben Affleck somehow snagged it, and he had it in his possession. And recall that Ben Affleck himself portrayed himself as a CIA agent twice, in Some of All Fears as Jack Ryan, and in Argo, which, you know, Argo filmed with the help of the CIA, very Mockingbird style. So maybe, right? Then you've got the Diddy Mansion. This was the freak-off mansion in Holmby Hills, totally unaffected by the fires. He had it for sale last summer while he's sitting in prison for $61 million. But now that the fires decimated everything, it's worth $72 million apparently. And back in November, he got a lowball offer for $30 million, which he did not accept. Says he bought it in 2014 for $39 million. Anyway, the mansion was raided along with the Miami mansion back in March of 2024 by Homeland Security. They said that they had found all these drugs everywhere and surveillance systems, I should say, and 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lube. Well, it was at one of the two places they found all this stuff. Now, strangely enough, there's a docuseries called The Fall of Diddy. I haven't seen it yet. One episode has a guy named Phil Pines, an executive who worked for Diddy, And he was one of the people that had to go shopping for all this baby oil and lube and sex toys and red lighting and goes on. He says, we usually had a laundry list of items that included lights, alcohol, marijuana, ketamine, molly. You have mushrooms on the top there. Baby oil, Astroglide lubricant are very important. Candles, incense, Apple TVs, electronics, computers, iPads. Obviously, there was, you know, male libido supplements, stuff like that. Now, what's interesting, why I bring all that up is because he referred to the freak-off parties as Wild King Nights, which I thought was interesting because I think that's the first anyone's heard that term. They just call them freak-off parties. Well, this guy who was there said, no, they're called Wild King Nights. Which if you watched my, or listened to my Diddy four-hour, three-hour deep dive I did, we talked about the woman who claims she worked with Diddy and for Diddy, and she wrote all those screenplays, one of which was called The Adrenochrome Witch. Remember that? Well, one of her screenplays was called Hot Cassie Nights. Now, granted, that's not the same as Wild King Nights, but it's interesting she calls them Hot Cassie Nights. It just, to me, it seems like another piece of evidence pointing to that she really was involved with Diddy, and she's really got a story to tell. And if you haven't heard that deep dive on Diddy, you got to listen to the whole thing. It's a lot. And we go into detail on Candy Michelle Johnson, the woman who wrote The Adrenochrome Witch and Hot Cassie Nights. So in conclusion, kind of a long-winded conclusion, but in conclusion, nobody seems to be paying any attention to the LA fires anymore. Same goes for Maui. The news cycles, the ADD style of programming our attention spans, they've moved on to other outrages. We don't have time for aliens anymore, which is sad. So are they still burning? Well, I don't know. I looked it up. It says they aren't 100% contained. It says they're like 99% almost. And apparently 100% contained doesn't mean the fire's out and gone. It just means they've got a handle on it so it won't spread. So kind of, apparently. And I've been having a hard time as well with, you know, the news cycles and the interest of things change so fast it's hard to keep up, right? Because if I'm like, if an event happens, I've got to research it and get on it quick. Because it takes a long time to research a lot of this stuff thoroughly. And by the time I can publish a show, people have moved on to the next outrage. It's kind of a weird thing, right? I've been doing this since 2011. I'm telling you, like, things are moving rapidly. They're accelerating. It's hard to keep up. And it made me think of that Billy Joel song. And F Billy Joel, right? I was born in Allentown. That's, how dare he? But Billy Joel had a song called We Didn't Start the Fire. And my interpretation, now that I'm 45, I mean, I was probably 12 or something when it came out. My interpretation is that that song is equivalent to how we're living today. We're swimming in news and pop culture events, and phones are constantly notifying. It's exhausting. Exhausting in the same way that he rattles off a million huge subjects so fast. You can barely catch the names when you're listening to it before the next one drops, right? It's like Bone Thugs rapping. You're just like, what? So that's the world we live in today, right? We're living in a Bone Thugs cadence of rap. And, you know, add in the connectivity of the global internet and social media, and it's weird, and it feels like we're on the cusp of some weird major change, okay? So I want to look at some of the lyrics from We Didn't Start the Fire. It starts out with Harry. This is just some of the names he mentions. Harry Truman, who was the only president to ever drop an atomic bomb, also Twin Peaks. Doris Day. Her son was Terry Melcher from the Charles Manson story, tied into Roman Polanski and all that, obviously. Red China, which is a term when it comes to the formation of the PRC. Obviously, a huge part of today's society is talking about China as a, you know, threat, taking away TikTok and all that. Johnny Ray, who's the father of rock. I never heard of the dude. You know, a bunch of names, whatever. I'm just going to give you the ones that stand out as far as our topics. He says The Catcher in the Rye, which we're going to hit that soon. Maybe February, March. I got a massive amount of stuff on Catcher in the Rye that I was inspired to do after interviewing Jay Widener and Ryder Lee when they did the Clockwork Shining show. Eisenhower, he talked to aliens allegedly. He says the VACC word. And it goes on and on. Rockefeller, he says Rockefeller, obviously one of the bloodlines. Roy Cohn. He was Trump's mentor. He was a lawyer in the 70s for him. When he was accused of violating the Fair Housing Act, which was settled out of court. But he was majorly plugged into everything. If you go to his wiki page, I mean, Reagan, the CIA, it goes on and on. Allegedly, he was in a homosexual relationship with David Shine, which was a guy who dated Piper Laurie, again, Twin Peaks. But Roy died from AIDS. And then Roger Stone apparently said, no, he wasn't gay. He was a man who liked having sex with men and implies that gays are weak. I don't know. Weird people. He mentioned Stranger in a Strange Land. Shout out Jennifer. Gave me a book in Vegas. I got to read it. Someday I will here. And then finally, of course, JFK blown away. What else do I have to say? Obviously, we've got the declassification of the JFK files that are coming any time now. I'm very curious to see where that goes. Anyhow, what I'm saying is that it's hard to navigate the world today with nonstop chaos and news and conspiracies and tragedies, and while also trying to juggle having empathy for the people going through this stuff. And I promise you it wasn't like this 10 years ago. I'm going to do my best to navigate all these, but I wanted to let you know that if you're feeling kind of like you're going crazy right now, you're absolutely not alone. It's a weird time, and I kind of buy into that whole idea of the cycles, right? Like we're hitting the end of a dark cycle with hopefully a new one, a beautiful one coming. Is what I hope. That's what I'm hoping for. In fact, that's just what I'm going to stick with, because anything else is too dark. And I liken this to the dying gasp of a control system, aka the boomers going away. Just kidding, boomers. And fighting for the last little bit of power that it can try to muster out. And I say this because I took a course as an engineering student on information technology, and we looked at how every technology that gets replaced when it's on its last little leg is when it becomes the most innovative. An example would be like the FM radio, right? Which, I mean, granted, it's not dead, but it's, I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, like, that was it. That's all you had. And, you know, towards the end, they're like, hey, wait a minute, we got HD programming. Hey, wait a minute, we can put the track titles on your radio. And but it's like everyone moved on. Like, they're done, right? So back to the LA fires. If there's a conspiracy to buy into, I believe it would be elites angling their way to try to take over some of the most expensive and beautiful real estate on the planet. Same thing went with Maui, right? And it's the same theories as the Maui stuff. Land grab by the elites and BlackRock, which I noticed nobody in the last few months. No one's really talking about the housing prices going out of control, which was contributed to by BlackRock and these other big companies buying up single-family homes. Everyone's talking about eggs, but what about the homes, right? And I, of course, lean in on the idea that the elites are taking over, maybe through BlackRock, maybe it's through the insurance companies. However they want to coordinate this, they're pulling all the strings. And this technocracy might just be doing what they always wanted to do, right? And now they have a mouthpiece to do it. They manipulate political folks and mainstream media and alternative stream media conspiracy people to distract us with talk about space lasers and DEI policies so that we don't look at the obvious truth that this is the Great Reset happening right in front of us. It's the Great Reset that tells us you will have nothing and you will be happy. And that's what they're establishing and that's what they're setting up. And we got a taste of this in 2008 when the elites crashed the economy with Wall Street gambling on home loans. Like, dude, what? You know, housing is unaffordable now. And it's a confluence of stuff. We had stagnant wages, the squeezing of the middle class, high college debt. Nobody built homes for years because of the housing crash. now they're deporting a quarter of the construction workforce or whatever you want to believe there. And then now you got fires wiping out tons of homes. And then on top of that, you got California, which has a ton of red tape. Same with Maui, tons of red tape to try to rebuild. It's going to take forever. And all of this supports the ideas that we talked about in 2020 when we did the book club for the COVID-19 Great Reset book for Klaus Schwab. And I'm going to read you right from the book. It says, "This is made all the more significant by the fact that the younger generation is likely to be more radical than the older one in refashioning the social contract. The pandemic has upended their lives, and a whole generation across the globe will be defined by economic and social insecurity, with millions due to enter the workforce in the midst of a profound recession," which I don't think we've seen it yet. I mean, I realize the stocks took a hit in 2020 and 21, but then they were on fire. So that worries me that maybe there's one coming. "They will bear these scars forever. Also, starting off in a deficit, many students have educational debts, is likely to have long-term effects. Already the millennials, at least in the Western world, are worse off than their parents in terms of earning assets and wealth. They are less likely to own a home or have children than their parents were." And I'm a Gen X millennial cusper, and I can attest to all of the things that he's saying are 100% true. "Now another generation, Gen Z, is entering a system that it sees as failing and that will be beset by long-standing problems revealed." And if you look to the New York Post, they wrote about the government plans to counter this whole problem. So that's good, right? I hope it passes. This whole ordeal of Wall Street and these investment firms buying up homes, this is from April 2024. It says, "Wall Street firms in recent years have spent billions aggressively scooping up single-family homes with cash. But a growing number of U.S. lawmakers and state officials want to put an end to the controversial practice. Democrats in the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives have sponsored legislation dubbed the End Hedge Fund Control of American Homes Act, which would force large owners of single-family residences to sell their swaths of home to family buyers. Should the rule pass, corporations would have to sell off all of the single-family homes they own over a 10-year period, at which point they would be barred from owning that type of property entirely." Now, I looked at the status on the Congress bill tracker. It's only in the introduced phase, and that was a year ago, so I don't know if this is going anywhere. It says investors ramped up their spending on single-family homes during peak pandemic days in 2022, when more than one in every four properties of this kind went to wealthy corporations. This is very cyberpunk dystopia stuff, folks. In late 2022, The Real Deal reported that institutional investors set a staggering $110 billion aside to purchase single-family rentals. Of the sum, $30 billion was earmarked for new development, and it marked enough to construct some 400,000 new homes. According to The Real Deal, which found that investment titans Blackstone and KKR were among the players in the $4.4 trillion single-family rental market. So again, in conclusion, the Great Reset architects are doing what they said they were going to do. And the Great Reset, the architects are from the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. And guess who's members of the World Economic Forum? BlackRock and KKR. So, that's my show. I appreciate your sponsorship and your support of this show. And I aim to try to keep a clear mind in all of this. And in this next year, it's going to be a trying time. I do believe that if that cycle stuff is true from the Generations book and Kali Yuga and all that, that we have to keep our eye in the future, the more distant future, maybe not the near future, but the more distant future, that hopefully it's a more enlightened time coming, right? So thank you for supporting the show. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay positive.